9 years ago. This is December 31st, 2023, with Sunday Satsang. So the first part of Sunday Satsang, we're discussing idea of understanding Shastras based on a bunch of quotations from Sri Satyanarayana Das Babaji Maharaj from his different books. So one interesting point he makes in this book in front of me, Pearls of Wisdom, he describes, we're talking about the Bhagavatam, or of course our main scripture is the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami explains that any point of any Shastra that goes against the Bhagavatam, we reject it. The Bhagavatam is our Mukhya, our main Praman, our surprise, sorry, Bhagavatam is our Bible. Like that you can say. So he describes how in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami very cleverly, where's your phone? Okay. Lost your seva. Sukadeva Goswami starts the Bhagavatam because the Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is the Upanishad. And most of the Upanishads describe the Advaita Tattva, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. So the Bhagavatam is only about the personal conception of the Bhagavatam, of the Upanishads. And it's Vyasadeva's comment on the whole Vedanta Sutra, his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, is the Bhagavatam. So interesting, the Bhagavatam starts off with the main character of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit is a Vaishnava king, and Sukadeva Goswami has an interesting background because the whole Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras, they're all about Advaita Tattva, Advaita again, which means impersonal conception. Nirvishesh Brahma, Akshar Brahma, Nirvishesh Brahma, Nirgun Brahma, all this described in the Upanishads. But after writing Vedanta Sutra and all the Vedas, Vyasadeva wasn't very happy. So his guru told Narada Muni, he said, you have to talk about pure bhakti, uttam bhakti, by describing the Vrijvasis, especially the Gopis and Radharani and their love for Krishna, Madhurati. For Krishna. So Vyasadeva starts all the whole story of Bhagavatam with a meeting of Sukadeva Goswami. First he starts about the life history of Sukadeva Goswami. We'll read when you start reading Bhagavatam, first canto. Sukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi, what Prabhupada is kind of called Mayavadi, but that's what they want to say. But he was an Advaitin. He believed in Nirvishesh Brahman is the goal of life. And that's acceptable in the Bhagavatam itself. It describes that in first canto, chapter 3, verse 28. Look in there. Vedanti tat tatvavidas yat tat jnanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanati shabhyate. Vedanti tat. V-A-D-A-N-T-I? I don't know. This is Bhagavatam. It describes there's three ways of realizing the Absolute Truth, and they're all equal and they're all eternal. This is in, this is not the 1328, that's. Krishna's 241. So, this is Canto 1. What chapter? Can you guess? First canto, what chapter?
Second chapter,
because second chapter has all the good stuff in it. Required for initiation, we gave the commentaries on the second chapter of the first canto of Gita, Bhagavatam. So, this is the verse. Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Shonakarishi and all the sages of Dharmesharanya. Vedanti tat tatavidas. Those are smart guys who know know the conclusion of Vedanta, they say, the Vedantas, they say, Tatvam Yajjnanam Adrayam. The Supreme Truth is non-dual, non-dual, absolute knowledge. And it appears and manifests in three different forms. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, and Shabhiti. So sometimes it's wrongly presented that this verse lists Bhagavan as the last entity in the list of Sanskrit. First it says Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So some people, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they interpret this to mean that Bhagavan is the supreme form of realization. The other forms of realization, realizing Brahman or Paramatma, are limited or less transcendental or less successful. And that's not what you read all the commentaries. There's 11 or 12 commentaries on this verse, first canto, chapter 2, verse 11. And all the commentaries on this verse unanimously agree that these are all equal, eternal ways and goals and attainments of understanding the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is Brahman eternally, and it's perfect. The Absolute Truth is Paramatma eternally. So for yogis and some jnanis, they realize the Absolute Truth, what we call God, as Paramatma, and some realize as Brahman. And it's not Bhagavan, it's kind of egoistic. Well, we worship Bhagavan, Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, we're best. All three are best. So that should be understood, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. So this verse describes, so Sukadeva Goswami, the Bhagavatam starts off with a Brahmavadi, when it was Brahman realized. He was a Jiva Mukti in the womb, Sukadeva Goswami. So there's this nice point. He says, Sukadeva Goswami was such a vairagi and such a Brahmavadi that he would just keep wandering all around here and there in India, the holy places. He wouldn't stay in one place longer than he could milk a cow, which is 5 minutes. That's pretty good, huh? 5 minutes. That's all you need. Fill up your stomach and go. Wait for the cow to be milked and take the milk and go. Krishna doesn't even wait for it to be milked. He just takes it and sucks it. Success done. He takes the cow, doot doot. You know the story of the lotus flower in the end of the udder of the cow? Have you ever seen? You know this thing in the cow, it's called udder, stan, S-C-H-A-N, I think. So in the end there is a nipple, but it's the design of a lotus flower. Eight-petal lotus flower. So one time in Barsana, Radharani was at Dohani Kund. Dohani Kund means a kund made of milk. Doha means milk. So she was there supervising some people were milking, some coward girls were milking cows, not Radharani, because she's a princess. It's quite a wrong conception to think Radharani milks cows. She has 8 lakhs of cows or 7 lakhs of cows, Vrishabhana, but she doesn't milk them. There's paintings like the Indian paintings just to make, you know, Indian art. So Radharani was there watching the cows being milked. She wanted to make some special milk sweets from black cows, because black cows get sweeter, richer, thicker milk. So she was there. And Krishna went there one time and he said, Radharani, do you know on the end of the udder of the cow there's a lotus flower design? And she said, no, I never got that close, you know. I never milked a cow. He said, look, I'll show you, because Krishna knows how to milk a cow. So he said, Radharani, you kneel next to me and just you watch, you have to look really close. It's a very fine design of this 8-petal lotus flower and the end of the cow's udder. So she's looking really attentively. concentrating our attention. And Krishna says, let me show you. Like that. And he squeezed the udder of the cow, and all this milk became Abhishek Radharani. That's okay, it was Abhishek Radharani, but it wasn't Radhastami. So Radharani didn't like it. So that's the thing with the saying for as long as milk a cow. So Sukadeva was such a vairagi, such a Ramavadi, such an awaitin. He saw everywhere one. Sarakalvidam Brahma. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So he saw a tree, he saw a naked girl, a 16-year-old girl. It's like a tree. Interesting tree, but for him it was the interest. The tree, the flea, the street. It's all equal to me. You know what a flea is? Flea, F-L-E-A. Look it up. F-L-E-A. You know what a flea is? F-L-E-A.
Insect-like.
What?
Insect?
Yeah, tiny one. They go with dogs. Has a picture of a flea or what? It's about as big as a mustard seed, even smaller. They go with dogs. Dogs and fleas go together. Yeah, yeah. that Russian cheese will please. That thing is so weird. So he was so detached, he wouldn't stay anywhere for a minute. But somehow he got attracted to come to his father's ashram yesterday and listen to the whole 12 candles of Bhagavatam. Because he heard a verse, look at Bhagavatam. Here are two verses from Bhagavatam. Yesterday he sent his disciples to go get Sukadeva. Sukadeva ran away from home because he didn't want to get entangled with Maya. He wanted to be absorbed in Brahman. Tat Sat, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. So, Barhapitam
Bhavarajabhu.
Yeah, it's similar. There's two verses similar. This is from 10th Canto, chapter 21, Vinaya Gita, I think. Thank you. This is from Vinaya Gita, chapter 21, 10th canto, chapter 5. The gopis are hearing Radharani's flute and they're glorifying Radharani. This is describing the Purva Rag of the Nitya Parishas of Radharani. Chapter 21, Vinaya Gita, is spoken by Nityasthira Sakis of Krishna, like Radharani Lalita Vishaka. Parhapitam natavarabhapu karnyo karnikaram vibradvishakanakakabhisham vajyantim chamalam randran venuradara suda yaparayan govarindar brindaranyam supadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. Shyam Sundar is entering the forest of Vrindavan with the coward gopis. He has a peacock, more mukut, more punk in his puggery, and yellow flowers on his ears, and a yellow dhoti as brilliant as gold. He has heart-stealing, multicolored garland of five fragrant forest flowers. What's it called?
Vaijayanti
Mala. Krishna displays the form of a greatest dancer. Natavara Vapu, Natavara, Gora Nataraj, Natavara. And he's expert in love. That's a good thing, the expert in that. There's not too many experts in that in this world. There's experts in tennis and computer hacking and all kinds of things. But experts in love, not too many. Love professors. Love scientists. Love doctors. Love gurus. There's a lot of those guys. Love your guru. The nectar of his lips flows through the holes of his flute, and the sweet song of the flute echoes throughout the kunjas of Braj. Sing his glories, the goers follow him. This way, Vrindavan Dham, which is far more charming, Ramanam, than Vaikuntha, becomes excited and delighted by the feet of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami heard this verse. The first year of verse, look at this verse. Hobaki Yam Sanakalakutam. H-A-H-O. Hobaki. Hobaki. Hey, Roko Boko. Who's Boko? You don't know Boko? You're sitting right opposite her. So here are two verses from Bhagavatam, 10, 21, 5. Vyagi. Another verse you heard is Maitreya Midura teaching, third canto, chapter 2, verse 23. I think it was Maitreya. Huh? Yeah, it would have. Who's speaking? Maitreya. Who said, who
spoke to Maitreya?
Who?
Uddhava spoke to Maitreya.
This verse. Yeah. Okay, so Uddhava is remembering Krishna, Vrindavan, and Mathura Leela and everything, because Uddhava was living in Mathura with Krishna. Who is Uddhava?
Cousin of Krishna.
Uddhava is a cousin of Krishna because he's the son of Vasudeva's what?
Brother.
Vasudeva's brother's name is Deva Prastha or something like that. Deva, it's in the Sartadarshini. The brother of Vasudeva is the uncle of Krishna, obviously, and his son is Uddhava. So that, what color was Uddhava? Sham. Radhe Sham, 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 Radhe Sham. Radhesha. So, Vyasadeva's Shishya, they learned Bhagavatam, by the way. They memorized verses, by the way. And the guru ordered them, go speak these two verses to my Brahmavadi Nirakar Brahman son, Sukadeva. He's my son, he should learn the Bhagavatam. He doesn't care about Bhagavatam, he's just, om. He's in a non bliss. Shukadevananda Swami. Another Ananda from Haridwar. So they said, Aho Bhakiyam Stana Kala Kutam. What chandas is this? Rato Dhamma. You recognize this one, Rindrika? When did you hear about it?
Yesterday.
When did you forget it? Right on target. Ta da ta da ta ta da ta da ta da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da Seneca, Kuto, it's like a bunch of guys at a party. You know. It's like, my head is shut up, because he wasn't drunk. Oh, lucky up, Seneca, Kuto, G, come, she, up, I, up, me, yet, she, the big, tim, dutch, dutch, you, she, tam, tatonium, come, vada, yalum, sharanum, rejema, come, vada, lilum, sharanum, rejema. Ananda Kanwagawan Sri Krishna Ki. Yeah. How astonishing, oh, who's Bucky? It's not Bogoland. Why do you say Buddha? Bucky doesn't sound like Buddha. Bakasura sister. Oh, see, he's a clever guy. Older brother, borrow by. Borrow booty. More booty. More brain. You got the first dose. You're left over. He's honestly. You're not really. Hey, Radisha. Astonishing. Putna tried to kill Krishna by offering deadly poison on her breast, Kalakuta. But he made her a nursemaid, Dhatri. Could I ever have more merciful shelter than Krishna? So when Sukadeva Goswami heard about the Karuna, the Daya, the Karuna of Krishna, and the beauty of Krishna, he gave up his Brahmavadi and came back and became a Vaishnava. So Shadrayan Das Babaji is making a point that the Bhagavatam begins by defeating Mayavad philosophy. Because this whole thing, the Bhagavatam, is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra and all the Vedanta in general. And Vedanta in general is Advaita Tattva. It's Advaita Gyan. It's impersonal viewpoint of absolute truth. The Bhagavatam is going to put that to rest right in the beginning, first canto, story of Sukadeva Goswami. But he's a classic. He's a siddha. He had attained siddhi in Brahma Kaivalya Mukti. Brahma Kaivalya Mukti was absorbed and he was already liberated even in the body. Jivan Mukta, Jivan Purusha. He was Jivan Mukti. He was liberated without going to Brahman. He was existing in Brahman consciousness. His body was spiritualized. When naked girls, 16 years old, bathing in a local lake, they saw him as a beam of light. He was naked. They were naked. He was naked. He's a 16-year-old guy. He's actually, he says 16, maybe he's even older. He's walking in long hair, lotus eyes, beautiful body, looking like Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is gross blue also. And they didn't get lusty or disturbed, and ordinarily 16-year-old girls gets a little excited. You're a 16-year-old girl. Yeah, they saw some ball of light walking by, that's all. So Vyasadeva cleverly refutes Advaita Vada and establishes bhakti simply by telling the story. He establishes bhakti as supreme, uttam bhakti as the highest goal, by cleverly telling the story of Sukadeva at the very beginning of Bhagavatam. Thus he concluded. In other words, he said, unless bhakti is established as superior and mukti as inferior, we will not take interest in it. Bhagavatam explains this fact. This is the essence of the dialogue that took place between Narada and Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was feeling incomplete after having written Vedanta Sutra and Mahabharata, and Narada pointed out to him that Vyasa had not clearly explained Uttam Bhakti. So that's the point, that the Bhagavatam as a Shastra Because this course is called Understanding Shastra. So the Bhagavatam is right in the beginning by telling a beautiful story. It establishes bhakti as superior to mukti. Because there's countless stories in Puranas and Vedas of mukti and waiting, followers of Vaishnavas giving up for bhakti. We don't find any stories of bhaktas giving up bhakti for Vaishnavas. There's no stories. Because bhakti is a higher taste. Pranjrisva nivartate. So let's see what else we have. Where's the number? The sun is moving to the north now. It's Uttarayan. Feel warmer? No, before it gets warm, it has to get cold. Because there's a lot of Himalayan ice in the air. Winter, because what's going to happen next is spring, so winter's attached to make everybody freeze. So he's not making it. So now it makes a point in Shastras like Bhagavatam, there are many stories of kings, of different kings. So they're meant to teach Vairagya. It talks about a king had so many wives and he got really attached and he suffered so much. So the story is told in Bhagavatam not to get you interested in being a king and having so many wives, but to develop your detachment. This man-woman business is a source of misery. You should give it up. So that's the real point of the story, is to teach Vairagya detachment. So the story should not be taken literally. In other words, philosophy is fact. It's like medicine, a bitter medicine with a sugar coating. Like when you go to buy vitamins, adult vitamins are one thing, children's vitamins are different. Children's vitamins are sugar-coated. And you tell the kids, candy, oh, it's good. He said, like you have vitamin C, sugar, chewable vitamin C. It's big tablet, chew it, acerola berries, rose hips, all kind of cool stuff. And you get a lot of fun chewing all that sugar. So a kid will eat the vitamins that way. But you give him some rose hips, it's very bitter, it'll spit it out. So you have to be careful when we're reading all these stories. They're very interesting and absorbing stories, but we should keep in mind what's the intention of the author and what is the message it's trying to teach us. Because we read Shastra not as entertainment, but as education. Education and enlightenment. Like you go to a movie for entertainment, you don't go to a movie to get enlightened. Usually. Unless it's, Mahabharata or something like that. So he says a nice point. He says there's two views of Shastra, the insider view and the outsider view. And they never agree. So what is the outsider view? Outsider view is a view of the casual observer, casual reader like a professor. When he reads Shastra, he has no interest in self-improvement, no interest in self-realization, no interest in liberation. He's just analyzing it, the Shastra, from a viewpoint of poetry, from a viewpoint of Sahitya, Kavya, literature, or history. What is the Bhagavatam Puranas? How can I understand history of India by studying the Puranas? So he makes a nice point. History and Shastra. Because Purana, the word Purana means stories about ancient times. Purana means old. Purani, Naya and Purani. So Purani means old and Naya means new, fresh. So the Puranas, although they're called history books, generally Puranas are called history of India. You can read, understand the history of India by reading Puranas. But Sajjanarayana says Puranas are not history, although they contain historical facts. History is not the main purpose of Puranas. In the Bhagavatam 10th and 2nd canto, chapter 10, verse 2, it clearly states there's 10 topics in the Purana. Remember, I told you there's 10 topics. And the whole point of the first 9 topics is to describe the 10th topic. The 10th topic is called Summum Bonum, and that topic is a tattva called Ashraya Tattva. So what does the word Summum Bonum mean? The highest good. Bona means good. Bonus. Good. Summa means summit. The topmost good. The topmost benefit. Summum bonum. So the topmost benefit is 10th canto. It's called summum bonum. And it says, what's explained here? Ashraya tattva. What does it mean, ashraya tattva? Ashraya tava. Tava means truth, reality, the truth about the ultimate shelter. The ultimate shelter is Krishna and Radharani and Vrindavan and Madhurya Rati. You agree?
Yes.
That's the subject of the 10th canto. It's not the subject of the 9th canto, 8th canto. So the Ashraya tava, the ultimate shelter for everyone, in the highest form of Godhead, in the highest place of Bhagavan's appearance and activities is Vrindavan. So that's described in 10th canto called Ashraya Tava, the truth which we should take shelter of, the truth which we should serve, the truth which we should realize. Ashraya Tava. Our body should be sheltered in that truth, our mind should be sheltered in that truth, and our heart should be sheltered in that truth. Ashraya Tava, Dasama Skanda, Radha Krishna, Prem Leela, Madhurya Leela, in Vrindavan. The real purpose of all shastras is described by Krishna in the 15th chapter of Gita, 15th verse.
Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto
mita smriti jnanam apodam cha vedaisya sarvera aham eva vidya vedanta krit eva vidya cham. What chandas is that?
Ratodata.
Ratodata. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. I love this. It's very nice. Okay. Let's move right along here. What else we... No one's going to fall asleep today in class. Too busy shivering. Teeth are chattering. Your chattering teeth will keep you awake. Sound like an old fashioned typewriter. You don't remember those days. Okay, new mics on the order here. I got new, you got front for up. I got mine, where are you? Yeah, I know. Okay, 266. I think we'll finish today, this book. I know. Just 3 or 4 more classes will be done this series. The Shastra, this is the point, that Shastra works on an individual level. Because some people say, well, Shiv Ran says Shiva's God. And Devi Bhagavat says Durga Devi is supreme. And your Bhagavatam says Krishna is Stu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is supreme. So what's going on here? Which one's truth? Which one's they're all true? They're all perfect according to where you stand. So the Shastras work on individual level. So there are Shastras and those that are in Samsavagan and Rajagan. There are Shastras those that are only in Savagan. There are Shastras those in Tamagan. The whole idea of all Shastra is what? Dharma, art, kam, moksha, mukti ho jayega. The purpose of all Shastra is to get you out of here, man. Get your butt out of here. Elevate your butt, levitation, $150. Meditate on Lagima City. Your butt is a piece of cotton. Very big. Too big. So Shastras work where people stand. Shastra attracts people by catering to their material desires. So Shastras describe different prayers, different tapasya austerities to fulfill material desires. Do you want this? You want to get a beautiful wife? Don't answer that question. It's too late now, sir. You already made your choice. It's too late now. No returns, no refund. You'll get 5 years trial run, you know. It's not Amazon, you know. You get to try out the product for 5 years, then return it. You have to return the same package you got in it. You have to save her wedding dress for 5 years. Pack her up in her wedding dress, send her back. Original packing has a receipt also. Proof of purchase. Two rings inside the box. So, Shastras, people want material things so they get them from Shastra. So that the Shastra is set up that when people follow Shastra, they get results. And they get encouraged to keep following Shastra. And gradually, they want to read more about Shastra, hear more about Shastra, because they got so many material desires fulfilled by following prescriptions of Shastra. It's very popular now, internet. So many self-styled gurus and helping type people say, you have a problem with Shani? Feed a black dog on Saturday. Give black doll to Sonya from Vishakhapatnam. Hit your wife on the head with an iron skillet on Saturday. Lola Barton, hit your wife on the head on Saturday with an iron pot, that'll make Shani happy. Your wife will get pretty angry. You hit her, then you have Shani reaction, you know. And then over black sesame seeds to your favorite dog, black dog. You know, like this. Different kinds of foods you do. So you are making recommendations like that. Put sesame seeds in a running river. Feed wheat balls to the fish. You have Jupiter problems. Tie a string around a banana tree. We had banana trees growing in the yard one time. And these ladies would come on Thursday. and come inside and Haridas, they would do Puja Banantri. And Haridas was yelling one time, ah! He left the door open. And they came in and they started doing Puja Banantri. And I heard all this yelling, the ladies yelling back, because Vrishabhasi ladies, they're not from Italy, you know. They're not shanti shanti. There's a lot of chilies in there, you know. They were yelling at Haridas, and Haridas was yelling at them. I came out and said, what are you guys all yelling about? He said, they want to worship a banana tree. It's Thursday. I said, so what? He said, no, the tree will die. I said, oh. He said, whatever tree they worship, eventually dies. So I'm chasing him out of here. Okay, chase him. So he's running up, the ladies are running up the street, trying to chase her. So the idea, if people get the benefit by worshiping Shastra and following Shastra, eventually they may get the intelligence that we should try to strive for something else. Shastra is set up like this. They may come to understand, why should we pray to God or different devas for material things, we should just pray to Krishna and Ram for bhakti and nothing else. So the shastras are set up to bring people to this conclusion. That's the idea. Which means if they worship God, they'll get worship God in any form as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, they'll get eternal liberation. When you merge in Brahman, you don't come back again, which some people say, but it's that verse. All the commentaries on that verse. What is that verse?
Brahma.
I think it's Brahma Stuti. Brahma. Rika Chaya. Yen Ye, Yen Ye. Look it up. It's another one. Ritodama. Yad yay, Ravindaksha, Vimuktamanyas, Trayasta, Bhavana, Vishuddha Buddha, Aruya Krishna, Parampadampada, Patantya, Dau, Natricha, Yishmalangriya. This is Brahma Suti, chapter 14, 10th canto. Y-E, ye, 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 yen, yen, ye. You know this verse? Thank you. This is, I mean, a mistake. This is not Brahma, it could say Brahma Suti, but it's Deva Suti.
Chapter 2
of the 10th canto is a very nice chapter. It's full of beautiful prayers to glorify Krishna in the womb of Yashoda. This is Deva Stuti, 10th canto, chapter 2. Brahma Stuti, Deva Stuti, so many Stuti. Shruti Stuti, wow. Shruti Stuti. Going out, coming down from space. So this is a prayer of Deva Stuti praying to Krishna in Yashoda's womb in Gokul. Yen ye ravindaksha vimukta maninas trayasta bhavad avashuddha buddhaya aruya krishna paramparam tata patantya do nadrita yushalangriya. Oh, Aravindaksha, oh, Lotus Eye Krishna. It says, Vimuktamanina. Some people think that they're liberated by merging in Brahman, but their intelligence is not pure, and they have to come back again. But if you read the commentaries in this verse, you'll find it interesting idea what it actually means. Anyway, that's the verse. So the idea is that Shastra is meant to elevate us. We'll continue there next week. Anybody have a pen? That was 266. Oh, wait, I gotta stop this thing.